I'm Brian McCreath. I'm at the Koussevitzky Music Shed with John Oliver. And this is the last weekend that we experienced John Oliver as the conductor of the Tanglewood Festival Chorus, which he founded in 1970. John, thank you for, well, thank you for 45 years of the TFC and everything before that. And thank you for a few minutes today.
You're most welcome. I've had a wonderful, wonderful time, 46 years.
Well, tell me about the beginning of these 46 years and when Eric Leinsdorf asked you to form the TFC. What was it you think he was really asking for, and what was it that you thought you might put together?
I went to work for Erich in 1968 and 69 as his assistant in vocal and choral activities at Tanglewood, and I began to talk to Mary Smith and Harry Kraut about the fact that there was no chorus associated with the Boston Symphony, except for choruses like Harvard and Radcliffe and Handel and Haydn, which at that time was an amateur chorus and not a professional chorus. And the quality of the choral singing was very uneven, because in schools, for example, sometimes you have tenors and sometimes you don't, and sometimes you have sopranos and sometimes you don't. And I said, you really need your own chorus. I said, and it should be called the Tanglewood Festival Chorus, and I'm the guy. And to my great astonishment, and especially now, 46 years later, they took me up on it.
Well, did you expect that it would be this long of a career doing this particular chorus?
I had no expectation that they would even agree to do such a thing. And they did. And the first year was a trial year, and we sang half and half with Chorus Pro Musica and Harvard Radcliffe and other groups. And then the second year they decided, well, this is really a very good idea. And we had 120 people on the roster, and that began it. Now we have 380 people on the roster.
380?
Well, we have 30 performances of holiday pops, for example, to populate. And so we alternate these people, and they're all a very high level.
They are, and one of the things that distinguishes this choir is the fact that everything is memorized. You never see music on the stage with the TFC. When was it that you decided to go that direction? Was it from the very beginning that you asked the choir to memorize?
David Nice of the Met semi-staged Tosca in, I think, 1985, and then Jean-Darc Aubuchet of Onegar the following year, and in both cases he had the lights off quite a great deal of the time, and so they had to memorize. And so I said to myself, well, if this can be done, why not the Ninth Symphony, which they sing every 5 minutes? And you know, I've not prepared the Ninth Symphony over 50 times. And so that's what started it. And of course, at first there was opposition from some people, but my parents always told me to raise the bar. Raise the bar, and the people that love the challenge will flock to you, and the people that don't want the challenge will drop away. And that is exactly what happened.
Well, okay, so but what is the payoff of that challenge? What happens with Beethoven 9 or anything else that is more of a standard? I mean, okay, so if there's a semi-staged opera where there's going to be darkness, that's one thing. But musically, what's the payoff when a choir memorizes a piece that they could very well sing with music?
Well, Michael Tilson Thomas said a few years ago when I was talking to the ladies who lunch in the tent, he said, he interrupted me and he said, they don't memorize, they sing by heart. And there is something about that. The internalization of the music is so complete after they've done that much work on it. And they come to the first rehearsal with me already knowing the music. I mean, this is an extraordinary difference from other choirs, you know, who need, for the most part, to be taught notes. I never have to teach notes.
Yeah, yeah. Is there ever a piece, or was there ever a piece, that you felt, I just don't know if this choir can really handle what we're about to try?
I did Moses und Aaron of Schoenberg with scores, and because I was hesitant to ask them to memorize it, and everybody regretted that decision afterwards, including the singers.
Okay, fair enough. Now, it seems as though that you've prepared over 1,000 performances of the TFC. Is there a piece that, I mean, there must be some degree of fighting off routine, fighting off a sort of familiarity and the dangers of that. But is there a piece that you never, ever have gotten tired of preparing and hearing from the chorus?
I essentially don't get tired of music. I'm always interested in music. I did a prelude last night with Bach and Brahms and Copland and Barber. And I was interested in every note, even though I've done all those pieces many times. And what you get tired of is essentially the same kind of drilling. And of course the experienced people know all the things that you're saying, and the young people are hearing it maybe for the first time. And I'm much more interested in the young people in a certain way. I have master classes, and generally speaking, I've been working with 20-somethings quite a lot in the last few years. And they have so much talent and so much eagerness and so much will to learn things that that gives me a great deal of satisfaction. I don't know if that answers your question, but I don't think there's any piece that I really have gotten tired of in the course of my career.
So in a sense, yeah, that answers the question. Maybe not exactly the question I was asking, but what you're getting at is the sense that for a life in music, as you have experienced it throughout your life, there's just a different perspective about what happens when you open the score or when you begin listening. It's always fresh, and I think that's one of the things that great musicians are able to pull off in a way that maybe some listeners don't quite understand.
It must be a certain kind of a certain gene. I remember talking to my dear friend Rafael Friedrich de Burgos about this, and he said, you know, he always had this very nasal kind of sound, and he said, you know, you and I don't learn music the way other people do. And then he mimicked reading a score, and he went very carefully down the first page. Then he turned the page, and then he went very carefully down the second and third, and then he turned the page, all in mime. And then he said, and then we closed the book.
Well, and he is one of those guys that just every time he was conducting, it was like we were hearing it for the first time.
Yes, exactly. I mean, he had a total sense of creation when he was making music.
Yeah. Well, I am going to ask you maybe if you can specify one moment. Maybe you can't, maybe, and that's okay. But was there ever a concert when you sat in the audience, or maybe backstage, you were hearing the choir in concert, and you felt to yourself, yes, this is what I set out to accomplish with the TFC?
Day by day, I felt that. And, you know, each time we had, in any performance or in any series of rehearsals, there are things that come up that you have to solve. And you solve them, and then you feel this immediate satisfaction. But in the last 10 years, and of course I made my first recording with the Boston Symphony with my boy choir 52 years ago, and this is an extraordinary thing for me to look at, because to me each day has just been a moment, you know, and we just go on. But in thinking about the last 15 years, I realize that I really have, shall we say, appreciated myself and my accomplishment much more than I did when I was younger.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I mean, I think that we all get to an age where we begin to really sense that, yes, yeah, something significant has happened, and I can't imagine anybody having more of that sense than you. Next year, you will take on the role of master teacher at the Tanglewood Music Center, and just tell me how you look at that role and what it is you hope to do from this point.
Well, Ellen Heistein, who's the director of the Music Center, said to me that she wanted me to work with the conductors and the composers, and I said, good, they need a good talking to.
Okay.
And I've been talking a little bit with Ellen and other people about this. And one of the things that interests me is if composers and conductors had a greater understanding of the singing instrument, it would change them. And my whole career has been based on the knowledge of the instrument that I'm dealing with, which is the voice. And I'm afraid most choral conductors are not interested in that, even though that is the instrument that they're dealing with. And I'm kind of spreading the gospel that way. For example, I had the idea that if we had some sessions on the music of Webern and the music of Bach, and talked about what the similarities were and how you teach this to singers, that would be a useful thing.
I love that you're approaching this next chapter as with a sense of cause about it.
Mm. Well, I do have a sense of cause, and I have, you know, I remember only one conductor in the course of all these years who I thought was really off the planet, and I walked up on the stage. It was a small orchestra, and I was studying this conductor from the side of the stage during a rehearsal, and I could see Joe Silverstein just through the gap between the conductor and the music stand, and Joey mouthed to me, "You'll never figure it out."
John Oliver, thank you so much for your time here today, and thank you so for so many years of great service with the TFC.
Thank you so much.